Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. The Reverend Dan Galschut is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke chapter 7. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. At the beginning of Luke 7, we're given two stories that have much to do with the authority and power of God's word. And these two stories are not just given that we might know the power of God's word, but that we might be comforted by the authority of the word of Christ. It's clear in the story before our reading today that the authority of Jesus' word is a big deal. That's the story of Jesus healing the centurion's servant. In that account, the centurion didn't even find it necessary to go and make his request to Jesus. He simply sent word. And when Jesus was traveling to the centurion's house, the centurion prevented Jesus from coming under his roof and sent his friends out to say, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And I say to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And I say to another, 'Do this,' and he does it." Upon hearing this, Jesus marvels at the man's faith. The centurion got it. Just as he had orders to give commands to his soldiers, he knew that Jesus had authority over his servant and the disease in his body, which Jesus demonstrates by healing the servant. But just how far does this authority of Jesus extend? Well, Luke makes it clear in our reading for today with the story of the widow of Nain and her son. For this situation is far more serious. It's not just that someone is sick. This young man has died. And what can be done about that? Because death is our great enemy, our last enemy, the final enemy for us, as 1 Corinthians 15 makes clear. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. God's word from Luke 7 would strengthen our faith in Jesus and comfort us in the face of this enemy, if only we will hear it. But there is a challenge for us in receiving this word of comfort from Jesus. As we live in this time and culture that doesn't seem to accept death as our enemy. No, instead, our culture seems to make a bedfellow out of death. Just consider artwork and imagery. How often does a skull or a skeleton appear in images today? In movies, in ads, and on clothing, especially as Halloween is approaching. The prevalence of this imagery is shocking compared to years ago. In artwork of previous generations, the image of a skull wasn't so common, and if it was used, it wasn't used to portray anything beautiful or cool. But today, we make light of it. This isn't the only way in which we make light of the issue of death. Several years ago, I read a news article about a family that wasn't going to do a funeral when their loved one died. Instead, they gathered to watch an NFL football game and had the deceased lying on his favorite recliner with a beer in his hand. Strange sight indeed, considering the man couldn't watch the game or drink his beer. We people today don't want to face death for what it really is. It is the thing that robs the life that God has given to his creatures. It robs sight from the eyes, hearing from the ears, taste from the tongue, breath from the lungs, and more. Death cannot be domesticated. But this is certainly not how God created things to be. But sin came into the world with our first parents, and with it death, a wicked and cruel enemy, which is after me and you. And we all must come to terms with this. A seminary professor of mine once told of a car ride that he had with his two sons, where one of his young sons cried out of nowhere, "I don't want to die." Before the professor had a chance to respond, the older brother took care of it. He said to his younger brother, "Too bad, you're gonna die." As you might imagine, this did nothing to stop the crying of the younger son. He cried out all the more, "I don't want to die." The older brother was right there ready with the response once again, "Too bad, you're gonna die." My professor told this story not to prove how heartless seminary professors are, but to make the point that everyone has to deal with death. Death is our enemy, and it must be destroyed, for it is seeking to destroy us. For we have sinned, and the soul that sins must die. For us Christians, it's important for us to understand this truth, especially in a culture that not only tries to domesticate death, but also tries to claim that death is a solution to problems. Consider what all too many people in our world say and believe when it comes to the issues of abortion and euthanasia. No, this can't be. Death is an enemy. Which is why the account of the raising of the widow's son, the widow from Nain, is to be treasured by all of us as God's people and should give us great hope and comfort in the face of death. As Luther puts so well in one of his sermons, I share portions of that sermon with you now. Luther writes, "From the gospel of today and from the son of the widow, we should learn to perceive the great power which God through Christ will apply to us on the last day. For here we have the example. The son of the widow is dead. He has lost the gift of hearing in all other senses. But when Christ speaks to him, he hears. This is certainly a strange and wonderful incident. He that does not hear, hears. He that does not live, lives. Nothing is done, but that Christ opens his mouth and bids him arise. The single word of Christ is so powerful that death has to vanish and life return. It is as though Jesus were saying to us, 'Let not your hearts be troubled. Though death is terrible, yet what can it harm you? It may terrify you, but learn to avoid judging by your feelings and following your fears. Look upon me and remember what I can do and what I am desirous of doing. Namely, that I can raise you from death as easily as you awaken a person out of sleep. And I will do it cheerfully. Neither the will nor the power to do it is lacking.'" Luther goes on to say, "From this it must follow that those lying in the churchyards and under the ground sleep more lightly than we sleep in our beds. For it may be the case that you sleep very soundly, and that you have to be called 10 times before you hear once. But the dead hear and awaken upon a single word of Christ, as we see in the case of this young man and of Lazarus. Before the Lord, death is no death at all. For us, it is called and is death when we die. But before God, it is a light sleep, which could not be any lighter. These very facts our Lord Jesus wishes to impress upon our minds, so that we may not fear when pestilence and death itself draws near, but we may learn to say, 'O death, what can you do even in your worst form? You have terrible teeth, which you show to frighten me, for I do not like to die. But I will not merely behold your work when you, like an executioner, draw the sword, but I will remember what our Lord can and will do when you have slain me. namely, that he is not afraid of you and does not care for your raging and destroying, but says, O death, I will be thy plague. O death, I will be thy destruction. If you kill my Christians, I can destroy you and recall them to life again. What a great word for us in the face of our enemy. Our Lord, who came to this world to redeem us from our sins by his death on the cross, has power over death because of his resurrection. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life unto me and all believers in Christ. For Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.